Well, we are blowing through the holidays this year, right? I mean, it was just, I mean, if you're me, you've kind of had some things going on, and just like the holidays, they're just like this, and one right after the other. And so we're going to just continue on that, and we're going to talk about Valentine's Day just a little bit early today, all right? And, you know, Dan, bless his heart, has to steal my thunder about trying to get people out of here on a little ahead of schedule. 12:05 is when the game starts, right? 12:05 is what I saw. Good try, Becky. All right. So, since the Vikings game is so important. Yeah, unfortunately, Iowa doesn't have a team, but that's a good thing, so. No, the Hawkeyes are not going to the Super Bowl. Though we might like it anyway. Anyway. We are going to be talking about the love of God today in 1 John. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I always like coming to the really positive ones. Like, I know it's necessary to preach, like, stay away from false prophets, and you got to be careful, and you got to make sure you're discerning and stuff like that. Those aren't my favorite. These are my favorites because they're positive, and it's fun at the end of the service. Okay, I'll get you challenged though. All right. So if you're in 1 John. Chapter 4, start reading with me in verse 7. I'm still in Daniel. I'm still in Sunday school mode. By the way, if you're interested in eschatology, that's what we're studying in Sunday school, and we've been having quite a fun time with it, even though we're only on lesson number 2, so it's a good time to jump in and come to the Sunday school with us. I'm throwing a plug in here, okay? It's an advertisement at 9 o'clock. All right. So, chapter 4 of 1 John 4:7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." All right, so very, very positive, very upbeat, feel-good type of a message today, right? Yep, that's right. Right, not too much conviction, right? We'll get there. All right. John starts off this section right after the section on, okay, let's be careful about Antichrist. Let's be careful about the spirit of Antichrist, false prophets, those who would spread something, some sort of a message that's against Christ and against what God wants us to do. And he turns over here and he says, all right, folks, beloved, let us love one another. It's pretty easy. Big theme of the scriptures, love. We've heard that time and time and time and time again. And so we have to ask ourselves, all right, John, if you're talking about love, what are you really talking about? We have to ask that question. What is love? Well, there's all kinds of ways love is used. I love burgers. Okay, here's a better one. I love the Vikings. All right, okay. Or I'm in love with my wife, right? All the ladies, I like that. That was good, Gene. Good job. We use it a lot of different ways. However, love, God's way, is very, very specific. So when John says this love, he says love is from God. This love that we are supposed to love one another with finds its source in God. This is what makes this tough. Love is of God, okay? If you want to know the Greek, it's the agapao that everybody seems to know what agape love is, okay? This is what we're talking about. This is the love that God loves with. Beloved, let us, this is a command, let us, it's kind of an easy command. He's not barking down somebody's face and pointing fingers like this, but he's saying, come on, let's love one another with the type of love that God loves with. All right. So we kind of have to say, all right, when we talk about love, I'm not talking about something like I love burgers or I love the Vikings, even though those things are good to love. All right? Good thing it's not college football anymore. Okay. But that's not what we're talking about. We're not even talking about being in love. Being in love then is, you know, kind of characterized with those warm fuzzies you feel for somebody else, right? Being in love. Right, guys? You're in love with your wives. You have those warm fuzzies. But this love that God loves with is a different type of love, and he's going to explain that as we go on. But first we start with the command, the mandate. Come on, God, people, he says, let's love like God loves. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. All right. So this type of love that we're talking about, if we're going to use it, it's only able to be used by those who know God, who have that relationship. And I'm using it in the correct term, who have been born again. Well, what do you mean? This is not for lost people? No. It's actually impossible for someone who does not have that foundational relationship, that position of being in Christ, to love like God loves, because they have no reference. They are not producing the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, right? Faith, right? It's actually impossible. No matter how much a person sacrifices, no matter how much we see a good person doing this, it is impossible for someone who is not of God or in Christ to love like God loves. He says, whoever is born of God, it's also impossible for someone who is not in fellowship with Christ to love like God's love. God loves. He says here, do you see what he says? He says, let us love one another, for love is of God. But he says, anyone who does not love, or wait, I'm sorry, I skipped too many verses. Whoever loves has been, number one, born of God, and they know God. Now remember the word know. Okay, we've already talked about this. We have to open our minds to the broad understanding of what it means to know. It could mean, yes, I know about the Vikings. But to really know them, to experience them, means that you know who's on the roster. That you know how they play. That you know who the stars are. That you know who's on the injured list, right? That's knowing a little better, isn't it? But it's even more to know if you're right down there on the field with them and you have a relationship with them, right? Okay? we're talking about fellowship type of knowing. It's like, I know Grace Life Church. We've been here, I've been preaching for just over a year now. I know Grace Life Church, but I'm still learning, I'm still getting to know, I'm still trying to engage in fellowship with the people at Grace Life Church. I want to know Grace Life better. I want that fellowship. That is what God is saying here. That's what John says when he says, you must be born of God and you must know God, have that experiential relationship with him. And we've already talked about what it means to develop that. It means by being in his word, by walking in his way, by obedience. So you mean, so just to recap, Pastor, what you're saying is that a Christian who isn't in fellowship with God cannot love like God loves. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Think about that for a minute. Think about it. Because in that thought is quite a bit of challenge, isn't it? John says, let us love one another like God loves. Because God is love. It is, God uses love as a foundational way to communicate himself. Yes, God is a lot of everything, right? But we find more and more in the scriptures where God describes himself as love. Yes, God is just. Yes, God is righteous. He's holy. But he identifies himself here as love. And that's how John is communicating who God is. God is love. And we, okay, now this is where the whole discipleship thing comes in, right? And we want to be like him, right? You should say right, okay? Amen. We should say that. We want to be like God. We want to take on as many characteristics as we possibly can being human. Because he is our heavenly father. And just like kids want to be like their father or their mother, you know, they want to take and they want to emulate us, right? They follow in our footsteps, right? And so, I mean, that's what we should aspire for. But as we look at this, this kind of gets a little tricky. He says, oh, anyone who does not love this does not know God because God is love. Okay, so anyone who does not love does not know God. Okay, that's experiential. This is the point that it's impossible for Christians who are out of fellowship with God, out of fellowship with Christ, to actually love with the love that God loves with. Okay? And then he says in verse 9, in this is love. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, that so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You know, first of all, John shows us a mandate. Right? Then he shows us how God manifests his love. All right? This is what you should do. This is how God did it to show us how to do it. Okay? He says, in this is love. This is how God manifests. What does it mean to manifest something? I kind of like to think of it as a magician pulling a rabbit out of his hat. All right, you look in and boom, there it is. It's a show. It's a picture. Maybe you think of something like on a stage, like a performance. There they are. They're manifesting this. Okay, this is how God shows it. This is how God painted the picture for us. In this is love, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, I don't know about you, okay, but I'm thinking of a cross-reference somewhere. Where would that be? God sent his only Son. Let's see. Do you know where that's at, David? John 3:16. Good job, buddy. All right. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. All right. So, John says we're to love with this type of love, and this is how God loves us, that he sent his only Son to this earth, into this world, that we might live. Isn't that interesting? Now, obviously, we know that Jesus is not created by God and is not God's Son in that way, but Jesus is God's Son in a certain type of a relationship that he is, that Jesus is under God's authority, being in that perfect Trinitarian relationship, that Jesus says, I'm doing what the Father wants. Okay? God sent his only Son. Now, there is this idea here of, think about it, you who are parents. Now, I'm not going to even trade one of mine for somebody else. Sorry. But God sent his only Son into this world. So, this love that we're supposed to love with must be some sort of huge sacrificial type of thing. It must deal with actions and not feelings. Can I give you a secret, ladies? Or men? Sorry. Ladies want you to love them with feelings, be in love, but they also want you to love them with actions. But this is how God wants us to love as well. He wants us to love in action. You see, God loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. God sent Jesus, who is God, here on this earth. God, who is holy and righteous and perfect, sent Jesus to be down here with us, who are none of those things. We sin. We have issues. You think that's funny? Good job. We have issues. In comparison to who God is, we are filthy. And God loved us, okay, to send his only Son, the one and only Jesus, to be here with us in the middle of all humanity is, so that, what? It says, we might live. Whew. So not only is God's love sacrificial, but it's also pure in the sense that it's for the other person's good. You know, a lot of times we try to love, okay? And we try to love with an action, but sometimes we get something back out of it, don't we? love to get. Now, it's okay. Don't think I'm saying that that's a bad thing. But what we ought to aspire to do is love like God loves. To love sacrificially. To love purely for the gain of someone else. Not because it makes me look good. Because the only person who's good is God, right? Not because I'm trying to lift myself up, because I want to lift up who? I want to lift up Jesus. That should be my motivation. But alas, we're humans, and so sometimes we have ulterior motives, don't we? But nevertheless, we should aspire to love. Now, the only way we're going to love, the only way that we're going to fulfill what God has commanded us to do is to be in fellowship with Him. To have that intimate relationship with Him. Because it's impossible for us to love. It's impossible for us to fulfill that command of Scripture if we are not in a relationship with Jesus. If we're not having that intimate fellowship. If we're not abiding. In fact, John uses those words. But let's read over this again. He says, "And this is the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love," so here's a second way, "not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." So not only did God, it says, not only did God send His Son, but He loved us first. So the love that we that we're supposed to love with, that comes from God, is, and I'm trying to think of the word, is a love that loves first. Selfless, I'm thinking of the first. Initiation, thank you. Initial. We're the initiators of that love. So that means, should we wait to be asked to love? No. Love that God loves with looks for needs and acts first. Not that God loved, or not that we love God first, but God loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. And to think about this concept, I can't wrap my mind around it. So you talk about God sending His one and only Son into this filthy, nasty world so that we could live, so that Jesus could be the propitiation or the forgiveness or the satisfaction of God's wrath for our sin. You know, that's crazy. It's like me sending one of my kids away to go live in a place that's filthy and nasty and harmful to them, and then in the end, I come and punish him for their nastiness. I can't get my mind around that. But God did it for us. That is how God shows us His love. But then John says, "Beloved, if God so loved us," if this is how God loves us, in this way, "then we ought to love one another." We also ought to love one another. We also ought to love one another in this way. A Amazing. God is our example. So, if we're going to be like God, number one, we have to have that relationship with Him or that fellowship with Him so that we can love as God loves and learn to love in that way so that we can be more like Him. Right? If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That means we look out for needs. We look out for someone else who needs that. We give in a way that we may not be able to get anything out of it. We should. I mean, God, what are we going to do for God, really? The only thing we can do is worship and say thank you. But it's not like God needs anything. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. Now, wait a minute. Why does John say no one has seen God? Why does he bring this into the picture? Faith? Miriam and I were talking the other day about the Holy Spirit and how that one of the things that she did while she was teaching children's churches, she would use oils, and she would diffuse oils in the class, and so to describe to the kids about God being there. You can't see them in the air, but we know it's there, right? It was funny because when Miriam was in the hospital, we were diffusing oils all the time. And it was interesting when I would leave the hospital to go do something and then come back up, you know, and hospitals, they don't smell that great anyway. But when you would walk toward where she was at, you would get about 20 or 30 feet to the room, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, there's something here. This is different. There's an evidence of something. Now, it says, no, God, nobody's seen God. God isn't visible to us, right? And how are we going to make God visible to others? It's easy. John says, God, no one has seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. John 13, 35, talking about a new commandment, says, and you'll know they are my disciples by their love. Do you want to give somebody proof of who God is and how God works? When the world says, I can't believe you believe in that hocus-pocus junk. Nobody's seen God. How can you believe in Him? There's evidence. And the evidence is in the way Christians love one another. This is why John goes to the site. We can't see God, but the evidence of somebody who is following Him is there because they love like He loved. They love with the source of God. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. All right. If we love one another, okay, think about this. Okay, so we want to get a better relationship. We want to have fellowship with God better. How can we do that? It says, if we love one another, God abides in us. So, not only can we read the scriptures, not only can we worship, not only can we pray, not only can we obey God, But we, in order for us to come into that abiding fellowship with God, one of the things that we can do is love one another. It's kind of a thing that builds on itself, right? In order to love like God's well of, we must be in fellowship with Him. And in order to grow in that fellowship, in order to grow in that intimacy, we must love others like God loves. And we will. It says, if we love one another, God's love abides in us. And then it says, it's perfected in us. It is completed in us. It grows. So think of this Christian life, this discipleship walk that we have. We all start out somewhere, and we want to go toward Christ. And so we find people who can help lead us and help guide us, who will love us like God loved. We find those people who have that love. And we walk with them and we learn from them. And maybe we love them in return, not because of all that they've done, but because God has commanded us. God has said, we love one another. And so we help each other walk toward Christ in love. And it says it is perfected in us. That means there's a growth process. We will advance. I was just talking with Nick about this morning, about how that as we learn things in the Scripture, you know, as we start considering what's there, God shows us more. There's more to learn. There's more to grow with. And he was bringing up that point to me very, very well this morning. It was just a good little conversation. And it's something that we all need to be mindful of. It's something that we need to be aware of. And so if I'm going to love, if people are going to see this relation or see this fellowship that I have with Christ, it is evidenced by love, which finds its source in God. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. So, are you up for it? Maybe not. You want to try? Let's think in this way. I mean, we've got several, at least one, maybe two more messages on the love of God out of 1 John. It's going to happen again. And if you go to the stores, you should be reminded that Valentine's Day is coming, right? Okay, so let's... Yeah. Okay, now those of you who are out there and say, oh, the world has commercialized these holidays, let's take this as an opportunity to take the holiday back. Okay? Hijack it. Oh, we're not going to talk about St. Patrick's Day. let's talk about Valentine's Day. That's the next one. I can't deal two ahead. All right. But let's hijack it back. When you see the red hearts everywhere, let it remind you that love is not a feeling, but an action. Let it remind you that God gave His Son to die for you on the cross, that you might have life, that you might be able to have this intimate relationship with Christ Himself. And that you can love someone else with the love that God gives. Isn't that an amazing concept for us? It's a challenging one because it requires several things. It requires, number one, that I have fellowship. I'm in fellowship with Christ. That's what it requires, because it's impossible like we already learned, it's impossible for me to be out of fellowship with Christ and love like God loves. That in itself is kind of a tall order. It requires some purpose. It requires some planning. It requires some time. But it also requires that I'm out with other people purposely showing them God's love. It means sometimes I have to get out of my own little comfort zone. It means I might have to get into somebody else's business. It means I might have to take the initial steps in order to start a discipleship type of a relationship. Now, we started talking about discipleship last year. Have you gotten into one of those yet? I mean, John said in the Gospel of John, or I'm sorry, Jesus said it, they will know your disciples, my disciples, by your love. That's a mark of a disciple. It's a mark of a follower of Christ. Are you there? Are you walking in that way with someone else? It's a challenging thought. It's awesome to know that God loves us in that way, but it's also awesome to know that we can love others the way that God loves us. So this morning, will you pray with me and ask God that he will show us ways to love others, that he will help us be in that intimate relationship? Will you pray with me that God will work through you and me to love like God loves? Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the time that we could spend in your word, and we thank you for the time that we could contemplate what you want us to do, how you want us to model you. And Lord, I just pray that as we consider what it means to live the Christian life, loving you and loving others, that we would just take a hold of that and run. I pray for those who haven't yet started any discipleship type of relationships here. And I pray that you put that on our hearts so that we can continue. Lord, maybe there's somebody here this morning that just really, really needs one of us, two of us, to love on them. Help us to understand that love is sacrificial. Help us to understand that love is takes the initial steps. Help us to love others. God, I pray that you put this on our hearts and put the people on our hearts that we need to love in front of us. In Jesus' name, amen.